This week's episode of Skip the Tutorial is brought to you by LOU CBD Oil, where you can go get your CBD products at loucbd.com. Listeners of STT will get 15% off your first order when you use affiliate code STTPOD at checkout. LOU CBD Oil is manufactured in the United States of America. It's organically grown hemp, THC-free, non-GMO, phytocannabinoid-rich hemp oil, free of pesticides and free of heavy metals. Again, that's loucbd.com, STTPOD, code at checkout for 15% off your first order.
Great job, as usual, good sir. And, you know, I always love how that good old hemp rhymes with pimp. And look, the CBD oil is wonderful. I fuck with it myself. And they just came out with some CBD balm. So, you know, you can rub it into your ailments areas.
Absolutely.
Now, they have eucalyptus and lavender, if you will. I'm trying out the eucalyptus. I don't know what you're going to, yeah.
Rub it
in.
We're
not going to talk about where you planned on rubbing it. Yeah. Yeah.
I'm not going to say nothing.
Good job.
Thank you. On to all the right. Show. Stay humble.
7654321.
You'll never have the sacred stone.
Oh, this you crazy mother.
Welcome to this week's edition of Skip the Tutorial, number one video game podcast in the Nether Realm. I'm one of your hosts this week, Bryant Goro Daniels, and joining me across the universe on Skype is Todd Liu Kang Fortner. Ready, fight. What's going on, man? What you up to?
Man, you know what the hell going on. You know what's going on, brother.
I always do. I'm omniscient. How do you say that word?
I'm out here pre-vengeance.
Pre-vengeance? Yes, I'm out here pre-vengeance. Pre-vengeance, one of the best lines. Man, it's a good day. It's a good day. How's your day going, my friend?
I'm fighting not to do like LaShawn McCoy and give motherfucking spoilers on some shit we not even talking about on this episode. It's been that kind of day.
Yes.
Great day. Whataburger has shakes with fucking Dr. Pepper mixed into them.
Do they?
It's a good day today.
Do they? Did you have one of those?
Yeah, man. That bitch is delicious. It's part of the you know, regimen now. It's part of the motherfucking ritual. Go to the movies on a great movie, and it's a Whataburger right across the street, and they order it the motherfucking shake. But yeah, man, it's a good day. You know what I'm saying? I've been killing shit.
Yes.
You know, the sun's shining.
Yes, the sun.
Good day
is
to be
shining.
On the other side of the dirt, brother. And how you doing today, man? How you feeling?
Man, I'm doing very good. I'm very good, as you would say in languages. Good. Good and hello and hi. Those are kind of universal, aren't they? Those are things that people say in a lot of languages, right? Good, hello, and hi. I think so. I want to say so. Probably hi. Like, hi is pretty universal.
That's why I try to stay, man. R.I.P. Nipsey. But I'm trying to think, like, I'm over here thinking, like, other than digitally, when was the last time I actually went to a village? Like, when you just, hello, what they say in the village, I'm just like, have I ever been to a damn village?
No, I've been to villages in, what's the name of that country? Honduras. I've been to ones in Honduras. Long time ago. Long time, like 11 years ago.
You been to Honduras?
Mm-hmm. Yeah, it's a beautiful country. It really is. Yeah, I went a long time. Man, I've actually been twice.
So much stuff I don't know about you.
Yeah, once on a cruise and once on a trip.
See? I thought we were friends. You never really know people.
I don't know when Honduras comes up in conversation, though. That's not one of those things you just drop and you're like, hey, I've been to Honduras. It's just not something I talk about.
You have no problem dropping snuff films or Sonic fleshlights.
That's true. Yeah, Sonic fleshlights are important now. Come on, we give those away as gifts and prizes for people who are lonely. And they spend a lot of time by themselves, and they get a Sonic fleshlight.
Everything. You're never going to get a Sonic fleshlight. No, not getting a Sonic fleshlight light for me, even though my name is on it too. So damn it, you know what I'm saying? It's like I made a deal with the damn devil. But anyway, bro, no, that's Brian. If you get a Sonic fleshlight, that ain't got shit to do with me.
That's coming from me, I promise.
That's some personal shit between you and him.
That's what happens, man. If you get to know me a little bit, you'll get really weird gifts in the mail. And I don't know. I don't know what to tell you. It's just a habit of mine.
Somebody going to send you a box of shit to your P.O. box.
That's true. By the way, that's illegal. I had to look that up one time. I won't explain why, but it is illegal to send human fecal matter through the U.S. Postal Service. It's considered a threat, an attack. It's really disgusting. Don't ask why I looked that up. Let's just say it was a collection agency, and they were very rude, and it made me upset. It made me upset, and I lost my cool.
I can just see you now getting a big bowl of chili. You motherfucker. I told you, I'm filling that survey out. You'll see.
You'll see. Here's some Tupperware where you could get high from it. You can get high. People smell their own shit to get high.
Okay, all right.
Anyway,
time marker.
Moving on. It's a very special edition of Skip the Tutorial this week. If this is your first time joining us, me and Todd get together and we talk about video games. Usually what we do is we talk about what we've been playing, we break down the news, and then we break down a roundtable. But this week we are purely sticking to a discussion revolving around the new NetherRealm game, Mortal Kombat 11. Woo-hoo! Mortal Kombat 11. Todd, you are a fighting fan. Yeah, you are. I am not. But Mortal Kombat will always drive me to purchase their game and play it, because Mortal Kombat's just classic, right? It's just that old school classic. It's been around since we were young people who were like going to arcades where you still put quarters in machines instead of buying cards. And, you know, you worked all summer trying to get the quarters to put in the machines, and that's what you did, and sometimes you mowed lawns, and sometimes you did things in alleys that you didn't want to be doing, but you're like, I just need that quarter because I want to work on the fatality. And that's what happens in Mortal Kombat 11. It fills me with so much joy and excitement. Todd, I got to ask you. You're a Mortal Kombat fan. You did your project on it when you were in middle school. This classic story of, you know, Mortal Kombat always driving you to play them every single year. Does this one live up to your expectations? Let's start right off the bat. Let's just start very basic. Does this one live up to your expectations?
Absolutely. And I mean, just a pure transparency, this is more so the discussion, not like an in-depth review. You know, always go into that like that, because really it's like, we already discussed it before. I really haven't gotten to dive into like online matches. I haven't gotten into 100 matches online yet, and I can't give that, you know, analysis. But just from the story alone and beating that alone, it's probably for me personally, it's my personal favorite story. Even though the ending, I can see how it can be a bit of an annoyance. It's such a souped up like power moment, you know. And it did bring back that eighth grader. Thank you for bringing that story up.
Of course, man. Like,
that's some real shit, though.
I still love that story. Like, I love that story.
Yeah, right? You know what I'm saying? Yeah, that's... Yeah. They judged me. Now I get to talk about games for fun in the future. Who would have known what's just going to happen? But yeah, bro, like you said, we've been fans of this many, many moons, man. I'm old. Date myself. You know, just do the math. I remember the original Ed Boon classics. So for this one... to be able to tie it in together. And you know what my head is right now, because you know what we did today. So it's like really bugging me out even more with the... And oh, spoiler alert. We're about to spoil the shit out of whatever we got on game.
Yeah, absolutely.
I mean, you should already know. I've been that, but that's the thing too. I've been really, really working hard to avoid spoilers on this as well as other things. I was like, fuck. I don't want to watch it. I'm trying not to watch any cutscenes or anything like that, because it's the type of even story that I'll probably go back and run back a couple of chapters on. Like, the shit is dope. I mean, for me, it's definitely dopeness level 3000. I'm not disappointed at all. Objectively, a great game. Now, it was some things before the game even came out that just made me sad. It made me sad to my heart. But, I mean, even that couldn't drag down my enthusiasm for how good the game is, man. And I mean, I'm a fighting fan, not a fucking... I'm not a guy out here that's invested in the pad. I'm not out here, you know, the best of the best will beat my ass, you know what I'm saying? But I just have fun with fighting games, and I have more of a natural inclination. I mean, you're going to always be driven to things that you have more of a natural inclination on.
For sure.
And I will say this, like, I'm not that great, but I will try to beat somebody's ass. And you already know, we already discussed this.
Yes.
Sometimes it just takes a certain game to draw you back into it to get that aggression out. And as much as I love Dragon Ball FighterZ, and I can't do a pure comparison right now because it's just totally different. MK11 is still fresh out, and I still want to spend a little bit more time with their multiverse, with the tower, the time towers, whatever the fuck, with the modifications and shit like that, which the controversy is around. But I'll let you kind of get into that a little bit more.
Yeah,
but
we'll talk a little bit about that because they have a statement out about the time towers that we'll get into.
Okay. But yeah, like, just as far as like culturally, video game culturally, for me, it's like, it's going to drive me to be like, I told you my process. Like, I'm going to beat the story, and then I got to complete all the tutorial situations, even though the name of the show is Skip the Tutorial.
Yeah.
What you need to work on that. But now with this one, and from what I understand and from the little bit that I've seen, because I haven't got a chance to really fuck with the tutorials, they're just well done. So I'm looking forward to completing that whole thing and then getting online, doubling back, doing the towers and seeing what that's all about. And, you know, spending more time with this game than the average fighting game, because they can cycle for people really quickly. You know, but this one, man, I'll put it to you like this. For me personally, I don't know where it might end up on my top seven for the year, but I'm already, for me personally, it's going to be like on the top seven of the year, which is, I guess it'll be a theme, because Dragon Ball FighterZ, I believe, made my top seven last year as far as a fighter. So maybe it'll just be one, and this will be the one. It's the shit. But I mean, like we talked before, like I said, I was able to get through the story. In fact, I want to like go. You, well, how about you tell me about your experience with Mortal Kombat? What sadly happened?
I love Mortal Kombat 11. I just want to start out with that. I really love this game. You know, the controls feel tight. The artwork is incredible. The fatalities are just so much fun. I just kept playing the tower just so I could keep doing the fatalities, because you cannot do the fatalities in the story except for on one boss, is my understanding. I did not make it to that boss. So last night, me and my wife, we go to a restaurant. We decide to have a few drinks, have some dinner, just enjoy our night. And I was like, all right, when we get back, we'll, you know, I know the wife will go to sleep and I'll play Mortal Kombat 11 and I'll go ahead and finish the story mode out. Except I could not, because as soon as I turned on the game, I get this message that says my save file has been corrupted and it no longer exists. So I have to start the entire game over. Here's the thing, though. Nobody else had this problem, and I was Googling around looking for it. Nobody else had this issue, so I'm almost 100% sure that it was my fault. Just from the get, I am 100% sure this was my problem and nobody else's. It was probably the way I exited the game at one point. The last time I popped it in, it was probably doing an autosave thing. I had this happen one other time with, you remember the game Heavy Rain? You remember that game that came out? I think it was called Heavy Rain, right?
Yeah. I never played it because, yeah.
Yeah, I got to the very end of Heavy Rain.
Same guys that made Detroit Become a Human?
Yeah. I got to the very end of that, and I ended up corrupting the game file and had to start all the way over. But this was, you know, it doesn't make me not want to go back and play the game. That's the trick. Now last night I sure wasn't going to go back at, you know, 12:30 at night and start playing a round of Mortal Kombat 11, especially when I was feeling good, if you know what I mean. So I ended up just watching Swamp Thing from 1980, whatever. You remember that movie? I love Swamp Thing. It's a great movie.
Hell yeah, man. That's a bonding experience, man. We had good conversation about Swamp Thing. Always underrated in my opinion.
Me too.
I know in yours as well.
Me too.
He's really shit. He's an OPS DC character.
I love his character, and I love the movie. But going back to the game.
Like, you brought up something real quick. I kind of, yeah, like, let me just to jump in real quick, because you brought up a good point. Just as far as the mechanics are concerned, I will say this. Like, I already told you, I love the story. I love the game already. But I also kind of love the intimacy of the fighting, in the sense where, you know, it's not a tag team system.
Yeah, absolutely.
And it's not the flashy, shiny stuff, we, you know, which we talked about last week, Marvel versus Capcom. It is really brutal. Just classic. We're both on the spectrum of knock your jaw off, blood and guts, and it's just so ridiculous. But the mechanics, as far as it's done, it feels more patient.
Yes,
like it's a more thought out. You know,
that's exactly what I wrote system, down. Was you know what I mean? And I do like system. That. It was more thoughtful than something like Dragon Ball FighterZ, which while I enjoy Dragon Ball FighterZ, also just felt extremely fast paced and just destructive. While this one feels very brutal and thoughtful, like you're really considering what you're going to be doing during the fights. Especially depending on what character you're going to be playing. You know, am I going to get this shot off? Am I going to... Because there were some times when I was be fighting that I would have the strategy with the fatal blow where I would get them low enough on their fatal blow and I would just want to see it happen to where I would allow them to take life from me so I could execute a fatal blow and just take them out. And just to kind of watch that happen in just such that cinematic way that those fatal blows are done. Not to mention the fatalities. The fatalities are absolutely incredible. I love executing those. I love going through that path and working my way up the tower with that. I have not played any online systems yet. But I do think it's a really just very well done, very thoughtful, engaging combat system. And the tutorials, as somebody who's not a big fighting game player, the tutorials really took the time to show me exactly what I needed to do, which is what I loved about those tutorials and going through and just, you know, figuring out, you know, how am I going to do these combos? How am I going to do the get over here and the special moves and, you know, playing with some of the other characters and kind of how those controls translate pretty well to other characters too. You know, in each character, I like how they have their own combo system and it's customizable and you can get in there and change out the move sets if you want to. It's just an enjoyable experience overall. And it's just such a well, like the story mode I kind of wanted to talk about for a second, because the story mode's insane and I love it. I love just how insane the whole thing is with the time travel elements and just Raiden being just a giant jerk, you know, to start with. Oh, just, I love it, man.
Oh, the story is over the top ridiculous.
Yes.
And
yes.
I thought we saw it in the trailers, but I still laughed at it. Like young Johnny Cage with old Johnny Cage.
Perfect.
And him, you know, referencing, you know, I'm going to tap that as my earliest inconvenience. And then, oh, whatever the fuck. Like whatever the fuck he said. But then like then they get into the fight, like that was one of my favorite fights in the story, honestly. I think looking back on it, the young Johnny Cage versus the old Johnny Cage.
Yes.
You know what I'm saying, and how that played out, and just the story, even though the time travel trope can be difficult like to pull off without cheese in a video game universe like this, it kind of worked out perfect. I mean, how this game has been out for what, 25, how many years?
Let me actually look that up because I'm kind of curious myself. It's been out for, I think, 25 years. I think that is correct.
Yeah, 25, 27, something like that. But okay, and just while you look that up, random shout out. Not random, man. Really appreciate it. I'm going to say this wrong. Stickman?
Yeah, Stickman Radio.
Rebecca Cullen wrote a little quick article about the show, man. That was really, you know, I was like, where the fuck, like, you sent that to me? I was like, oh man, that's dope. It kind of
27 years in October, by the way.
You know, pump me up for the 27. Cool. But yeah, like I wanted to say that because she did say something about how the show isn't family friendly, and then my old lady was talking about I don't know why you always gotta sexualize stuff. I'm like, I don't mean to do that, I'm just immature, you know, because like you said, fatal blow probably about four times. First time I wanted to ask you about it. I was like, I don't know how I feel about these fatal blows. Yeah, I don't want it to be fatal.
It's a dangerous really alley encounter.
But I do like that mechanic. But now, like, I like that as far as the balancing of the game, man, that's like a great way to balance the game. You know what I'm saying? As far as that never feeling out of it. And that's why I can't wait. I wish I would have done it the other way, but you know, I got my process. I go through the story a certain kind of way and fuck with certain type of shit and then go to my Kumite train. But to go back into what you were saying, so you were saying like the actual tutorials for you really do feel good, right?
Yeah, the tutorials actually do feel good, but the thing that I love about this game is just how it feels so brutal. It just feels like when you punch somebody, it feels like you're actually making contact and it really hurts. Even my wife, who was sitting there watching, I pulled off a fatal blow with, I think it was Cassie. And she sits there and she's like watching this and she's like, how the hell is somebody going to survive that? Are you kidding me? Like, well, even the back of the, you know, the grabs. I love the grab system in this game. And I love the fact that you can counter the grab too. But my favorite thing is when you grab somebody with Cassie, if you do that back grab, I think it's with the square button, she shoots them in the back of the head. And my wife's watching this, and I think I'm playing against Johnny Cage, and she's like, how the hell is he going to survive getting shot in the head?
It's just over the top. I mean, there's levels with skinned human bodies hanging that you're running through, and you feel the weight of, you know, moving the dead. But I'm like, it's just over the top. But even the way they partner certain, some of the characters, Kung Lao, Liu Kang, you know, and you can choose them. It's a subtle thing. That it's a small really thing. Cool.
Yeah.
But for me personally, that'll have a little bit more replayability. It's very rare that in a, you know, in a video game, a fighter video game, that I'm sitting here like, okay, I'm probably go back at least run a couple of chapters back, you know. And of course, now the one thing, like speaking like Fatal Blows, and we'll get into it probably more, just we'll discuss it. We're just talking about it, bro. But it's just like, I really am mad that there were no digital titties out. It's ridiculous. And that was a bit of an issue beforehand. And it was just completely on my mind the whole time. These Fatal Blows and lack of digital titties. I want a burka and at least one nip slip. You don't have a problem with motherfucker with four arms ripping somebody's head off, but I can't get a little bit of booty cleavage, digital cheeks. And you're sitting here, I want multiple Fatal Blows. You can get one Fatal Blow in every match. What kind of bullshit is this? And then they're freeing black people. Not fault. I know that's a little bit early, but I'm just saying, I like my niggas in chains. That's all I'm saying. Like, that's the one thing. It kind of threw me off the whole time I was fighting. And I was like, God damn it. Where does a black man in America go to a game to where he can just play a game, see a digital nip slip, little booty cleavage, and get about three Fatal Blows, and then go to sleep? But other than that, ooh, it's a 10 out of 10.
Oh, getting into it here.
I'm just saying, I get juice, bro. I love Mortal Kombat. I drew Scorpion on my door as a child, and my mother came in to beat my ass, but she looked at it, and it was pretty decent. So she was like, okay. Well, just clean the rest of it.
Yeah.
I love this fucking game.
Yeah, let's get in a little bit about exactly some of the controversy and some of the discussion around the game, especially where should we start? I think we should start with...
Well, this is another thing. I'm not donating blood to pay for every outfit in the game. Now, I don't want to... okay. What's the time mark on that? Because it did get over the top. Sexual.
Anyway, 21 minutes, but it's okay.
All right, good
deal. Okay, it wasn't bad.
21.
But yeah,
it was meant to be. Don't get deported.
So you sent me a video. I want to start there. I really want to start there. Now, okay.
No.
Let's talk about the microtransactions first, because that'll be a little bit of a quicker discussion, because I've got a whole list of things that I have problems with the video that you sent me of the other guy, and we'll get into that a little bit.
Do you just want to keep him, the other guy?
Yeah, we could just... We could
send it to the other guy, however it plays out. I mean, it's a couple of other guys, sure. It just so happens to be that guy.
Just that guy. We'll get into that a little bit. Let's talk about the microtransactions first. Okay, so first and foremost, there was a big controversy and a reaction to the Mortal Kombat microtransaction system, the economy, if you will, as far as this circular economy. I don't understand why games like Overwatch get a pass. And maybe it's because it's Blizzard, when they've essentially done the same thing. The only difference is that you can't have the option to purchase the costumes in the Blizzard game. That just comes in these loot boxes. Second of all, there's no reason to spend additional money on the game at all, when most of this stuff can be unlocked through the playing of the game. They did hear you. Now, I'll agree with one thing. The Tower of Time difficulty was a little bit too high. That was way too high. I'll absolutely give people that. That was insane that you would have to use that much consumables. But, you know, NetherRealm did respond to that. And here's, you know, I'll give a quick brief read of some of the key points of their response. They say, at launch, the difficulty in the Towers of Time was too high, and people felt like it was unfair, and unfortunately, that made process of earning rewards through the crypt seem punishingly slow. The game was never designed for in-game purchases. NetherRealm doesn't make games that way. We do not artificially drive people towards in-game purchases. The difficulty of the AI and the aggressiveness of the modifiers in the Towers of Time was turned too high. We're aware of it, and we've already taken steps to fix it. Through a server update, we've reduced AI maximum health and adjusted the frequency and cooldowns and many modifiers. In addition, we've made many unblockable modifiers blockable. We're also working on a patch as quickly as we can to address several other factors, including increasing currency rewards and tweaking other modifier values that couldn't be addressed in our TweakVar update. We're shooting to have the patch out this week, early next week at the latest. There are some things in the towers that are meant to be very challenging. We're trying to cater to many different types of players. Right now, everything is too challenging, and that was not the intention. As for the story, we want to stress that none of the in-game currencies, hearts, souls, coins, are for sale. You also cannot buy consumables or augments. You cannot purchase anything that impacts gameplay at all. Only cosmetics, including easy fatalities, and time crystals are available in the store. Also, there's some speculation that crypt rewards are random. They're not. There's over 600 chests in the crypt, and they're all handcrafted with specific rewards. Each player has the same chests. The only randomness is where each chest is placed for the player. This was done to ensure that each player would have a unique discovery experience. So basically, it sounds like there were some balancing issues at the very beginning, and they've gone through and started to fix all those. And they're not trying to drive you. I was never driven to purchase anything from the store. I never felt that while I was playing this game that I would need to purchase something to make the game easier. Because I looked in the store and I was like, there's nothing in here that's going to make the game easier. This is just cosmetic stuff. And, you know, people talked about how long it would take you to grind out and how much money it would cost just to get all the cosmetics. It's not designed for that. There's, what is there, 40 or 50 skins a character, I want to say?
Approximately. I mean, the number does sound scary when you do the math. It's over $6,000, close to $7,000. But like you said, like we were talking about, it's a situation where what type of person and who the fuck is going to, like, you literally, I mean, is that the goal? I understand the concern. I am glad that there are people out there that go hardcore to do these types of things to a degree, but it's getting to the point where, I mean, it can be kind of self-destructive. And are we just focusing on a negative to get attention and avoiding like objectively good things?
No, I mean, I absolutely agree with you. I mean, whose goal is it to get every single skin in Mortal Kombat 11? And why would you want that to begin with? When are you going to use all of those? I mean,
competitive people that are going to be on the game and fight, like if this was to go to Evo, I think their last concern would be like a cosmetic outfit. I mean, now if it's affecting your build, and it, like, I haven't even delved into that yet, and that's why I say it's not like a full analysis. It's more just of a discussion around a game that we both love, I think. You know what I'm saying? NetherRealm, American company out of Chicago, Ed Boon. These are people like I root for, you know,
Toasty,
just for several reasons. Yeah. Exactly. Just embedded in the culture, you know what I'm saying? So, yeah, I mean, the number was kind of crazy, but people were shitting on the game, and we'll get into that. People were shitting in the game on a way before the game even came out, where it even brought up, you know, the subject. And it's come up before. It's like a battle between corporate greed and consumer whininess.
Yeah, well, I mean, look, you can be mad at EA all day long. Like, especially with what they did with Battlefront 2, because those things that you bought in the store actually did affect the game. They affected how you played the game. They affected how much damage you could do. They actually gave you a heads up, a one up on everybody else if you took the time to purchase those things and pay more money for them. I get that. This is not that, though. This is simply cosmetic.
And we talked about that, bringing up EA. I told you before we started recording, it's crazy because I feel like Mortal Kombat on some objective levels is a great game, and I love it. And it's but it's got certain kind of controversy. Just like Sekiro was too hard for people, but I'm also where that's an objectively great game. But like EA, you bring up EA close to my heart. You know, that's another thing. I played the Sunken, Stronghold through Anthem, and that game objectively has problems.
Yes,
like to say the least. But I love that game as well. You know what I'm saying? Not love it. Love it. Love is a strong word.
Love is a strong word. You have a complicated relationship with that game.
It's like an abusive relationship is what that is. It's like I want to leave it alone, but I kind of keep coming back to check on it and being like, hey, maybe we could work this out. And then it just beats me in the motherfucking face and says, I didn't fix the sandwich right. It's just, it's not my fault. But that's not what I feel like with MK11. Like you said, it's not even something I really would have thought about if it wasn't something that came up before. But maybe that's a good reason why they pointed out so it doesn't go over the top. I truly don't believe, based on the article that you read and the feel that I think we both got from the game, that truly was like an egregious thing to fuck up my experience.
I don't think it was. I think what we're seeing is we're seeing a culture that lately it seems like negativity seems to be kind of the vibe that really gets attention. And so people are constantly looking for something negative to ride on. And especially when you have content creators and people trying to get clicks. Well, let's be real honest. If you're looking at an article list and you say Mortal Kombat 11 is a fantastic game, are you going to click that headline? Or Mortal Kombat 11 is plagued with problems with the microtransactions in the story. You're going to click that one. Why are you going to click that one? Because there's something that draws us to look at something that is either enraging, or we want to be mad, or we want to be angry, and it's honestly taking the joy out of gaming in a lot of ways.
All the millions of clickers out there.
I can't wait till Last of Us Part 2. Never mind. We're moving on.
That's why I didn't like that.
Yeah. I feel you. But it is. There's a joy in gaming that seems to be like, there hasn't been a game released this year that's been a major release that hasn't come under some controversy, except for probably, I would say, Resident Evil 2. Resident Evil 2, right? That was the last one.
That's the only one I could think of. But, I mean, I wanted to look it up. I should have looked it up before the show. How much money did Resident Evil 2 make?
Yeah, I'm kind of curious about that, too. Let me see if there's a Resident Evil 2 controversy. IGN Resident Evil 2 controversy.
But see, that's what I'm saying. Look at us now being clickers looking for a problem instead of being our.
Yeah, you can look for a problem. IGN Resident Evil 2 review removes large section due to the reviewer not playing half of the game. So that was kind of the controversy in the IGN, and the way the article was written.
Sometimes, so it's just controversy for controversy. But I mean, not
everything.
Oh,
wait, here we go. From Gamer Rant, Resident Evil 2 remake may feature controversial change. And that was before the game ever released.
Ah, the pre-release of the major release.
Yes. That's really. So
the premature release outrage?
You're right, man. I mean, it's one of these things where we're living in this weird outrage culture that just wants to be angry all the time. And
all right, and we kind of touched on this. This might be crazy. This just might be jibber jabber talk. But talking about how, like, I know I used to be obsessed with trying to watch both sides of stuff, because I don't think it's fair to get to myself or anybody else around me to like be afraid to listen to opinions that I don't agree with. So I would always flip back between Fox News and CNBC and just be retarded, like go back and forth just to try to get some kind of middle ground story. But I think you and a lot of other people just got fatigued by real world shit. That's part of the reason why we started this show. And I know I watch way too much YouTube, and I know a lot of creators went to YouTube, and you know, I think it was just because you just wanted to, I wanted to get my information as least biased, or at least just from not like a major company or corporation that has agendas, you know what I'm saying, and shifting their own propaganda for commercial ads. Am I tripping? And please let me know. Like I said, it's just a discussion. Since YouTube changed their algorithm and they're getting more ad revenue, does it seem more split down the middle? Or like you said, like I got to be the first to be. Yeah. With these people aren't journalists. Like we're not journalists. I'm not sitting in fucking, you know what I'm saying, a developer's office for 2 years doing true investigation. We just opinionated. But like get people on YouTube kind of the first person to be, not always even negative, but the first person to have the big scoop that's not even a real scoop. Like the first person to have the fucked up opinion is the one that wins, or
that's what it feels like. Okay. Yeah, I don't think you're crazy at all. I think that's what it's starting to feel like a lot, is we're hitting an area where anger draws more clicks and attention than positivity. And I think that's a real disservice to the gaming community and the world as a whole. Let's talk a little bit about it. There was a YouTuber who put out a video highlighting the fact that Mortal Kombat 11 and NetherRealm had gone completely SJW. I think that was his words, social justice warrior, because they stopped putting the women in, you know, they started covering women up in a dress, and Jax's tower ending used the phrase, I'm tired of waiting for people to get woke, and he goes back in time and frees all the slaves. Okay. So they get mad about this. People get angry about this. They get frustrated and mad, and they start screaming and yelling and start, well, I'm not buying this game. And the YouTube comment section is nothing but acidic nonsense from idiots who, look, you can have your opinion all day long. You can think about it all day long. My issue is that this is just plain racism. I mean, just flat out, and it's under this disguise of, well, you made it political, and you made it about this, and you made it about this. Bro, chill out. You're talking about one tiny section of a game that's a really solid, amazing game. It's a very well-done, excellent experience, and it's fun. And we should be talking about the joys of those gaming. But you want to take this one little section and you want to highlight it and say, well, because, you know, we had a black character that talked about freeing black people, you know, that's wrong. Why is that wrong? Explain. Really, really, I want him to explain it. I want to know why he thinks that's wrong. I want to know why he thinks that freeing slaves, going back in time and using time travel to free slaves as a character motivation for a black man growing up in America named Jax, who's been in all these video games to begin with, is really such a horrible motivation, because I don't see it. I don't really see where that's like, and why are you taking your anger out on a tiny little part of a game to begin with and calling it political? Bro, they didn't make it political. You made it political. You made it political. You took it and you made it a problem where there was no problem to begin with, because you want to be an angry white man in America thinking to yourself, my world is disappearing. It's not disappearing. It never did. People are just getting a shot to be represented in America these days in the pop culture, because pop culture influences change and it influences the world around us. And if you want to sit there and complain about your world disappearing, bro, your world's getting better and you don't even see it. You're sitting over in your tiny little angry corner with your red beard and you're throwing a fit because you're a child. You're a petulant child throwing a temper tantrum. And I need you to just realize that you're taking joy out of things that don't need to have the joy taken out of them. You're ruining my day. You're ruining a lot of people's day because for some reason you can't get your head out of your ass. So sorry, rant over. I just needed to say things.
Woo! Love the LA, man. Call bullshit sometimes. But you know, bro, we talked about this because I hated this. Like I said, preface. I don't mind catching both sides of perspectives and point of views.
Yeah.
Because I think that's how all people grow, you know. Yeah. And we talk about our love for the game in general. But when the culture overall, and it's not just this game, but it's like a bubbling up or reanimation of some unnecessary evil in something that should be there. And like, you know, it's like, damn, okay, it's very pretentious to sit here and speak in code as if, you know what I'm saying?
Yeah.
Like, it's not the same shit. It's okay. And that's really, that's fine. But I'm like, damn, can you even at least let the game come out?
Yeah.
Like, we addressed this with Brie Larson, the whole thing. Like, I thought it was, like, a real issue for a second until I went back and actually looked up what the motherfucker said. And it just genuinely made me chuckle as far as, you know, the Brie Larson controversy. And we kind of let that go. We kind of joked over that. But in this shit, I'm like, damn, the game, it's, like, 6 days before the game comes out. And I think what solidified it was the fact, okay, you release leaked information on a game from a small percentage of a game where I, as a black man in America, I'm trying to avoid this type of situation. You know what I'm saying? But you try to hide behind that and say, well, you think black people are around here thinking about that all day. I'm just trying to dodge all the dumb shit. You know what I'm saying? And, you know, some of this we can't help because, I mean, we part of the culture in our own way. We content creators as well. So, you know, just to, it's kind of unavoidable to miss particular information. But the first video was one thing, and it was almost just expect it at this point, but it just made me sad. Like you said, it wasn't even like I was angry. It made me sad more than anything. It was the follow up video of the anger about
having his first video pulled down.
Where I was just like, okay, that's the definition of cognitive dissonance.
Well, the guy even said in his follow-up video, he said, well, it got pulled down because they said they flagged it for copyrighted content. And, you know, I'm using this under fair use. Bro, you cannot use leaked content under fair use. I've been doing this for 7 years. You cannot use illegally leaked content and then claim fair use. That's not right. That doesn't work like that. This was illegally leaked. You put it in your video. That's your fault. That's your problem. Yes, that video is going to get taken down because that's not fair use.
If you just at least let the damn game come out before you build a fake controversy around it.
A controversy nobody else is talking about, by the way.
Other than your other people, it reminds me of one of my favorite scenes in one of my favorite movies, you know, where the guy, his wife cut all those holes in those bags. He's like, you ungrateful bad son of a bitch. I can't see.
Django Unchained. I love that part. But it is, it's this idea that people want to create controversy and they want to create anger around things that don't need it or don't belong there. Be angry if something really happens. Like, let's be angry about that. Okay, look, and I understand the argument that certain people are making where they're saying, well, the SJWs are going to mute our language. And I was like, they're gonna censor us and stuff. Okay, look, if censorship starts really happening, like in a hardcore way, yes, you can be mad all you want, but you're not being censored.
I'm glad you brought the censorship point up because I noted this. What a lot of people need is misdirected anger on. It's like enter the nigger. You know what I'm saying? The country's whipping boy when it's some misdirected anger shit. Yeah. If you want to be worried about censorship from companies, we discussed this. You need to be more worried about the power of China's economy.
Thank you. Absolutely.
So, you know, if we're going to go there. See, I think that's the difference. I mean, you know, I think that's why I like podcasting the way we do. Because fuck it. You know what I'm saying? Hopefully we don't get ourselves in trouble. But it's not like we're driven by an algorithm where negativity starts to feed upon itself, like where we can't slow it down and just breathe about it. Like we don't have to do the reactionary take. And I mean, yeah. I think some people kind of can fall into that trap a little bit and get themselves into some situations. But I mean, but when you got 500,000 followers.
Yeah, absolutely. Well, because the end of the day,
like, who are we?
And the thing that I think that really irritates me, there's a couple points to that video that really irritate me. One is, okay, we've talked about that as far as taking the joy out of it, but it is this very like subtle racism under disguise that irritates me. I'm going to respect you more if you're just flat out racist and you just talk about it.
So we can, just be that. Have the nuts to own that.
At least I know where you stand.
I can respect you as a human being, and now we got a starting fight.
Yeah, we have a point where we can start the discussion.
Bada bing, but you had me laughing as fuck when you told me. What did you say that guy looks like?
Looks like the type of dude.
He looks like the type of dude that pays black guys to fuck his wife. The BBC.
It's true.
I know people are gonna call me racist for this because it's racist.
Because it is. It is.
And it's okay. I say fucked up shit all the time. It's all right, bro. But damn, just don't try to hide it. Who the fuck gets mad at Jax going back in time and giving slave owners them hands, bro?
Dude,
ping, 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 ping.
It's ping, a ping, ping. Stupid thing to get mad at. It's so dumb.
That shit was so funny. My dude said that dude looked like a white guy who pays black guys to fuck his wife. Oh man, it's not. Let that sink in later, man. Bring that with you on your day through your morning coffee.
Through your morning coffee, bring that with you. Like, let's be. And what is so wrong? Here's the other thing too: is he's the same guy that made a big controversy out of Brie Larson and Captain Marvel. And, you know, there's been some other things where, and I guys through the YouTube channel to see, and, you know, there's a lot of talk about, well, you know, women getting fair representation, and here's why it's doesn't make sense, and blah, 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 and black men in America getting represented, and, like, just this, it's just bull. I mean, it's a lot of BS that's being spewed. What's so wrong with representation? What's so wrong with bringing different cultures into pop culture and representing that on screen for mass audiences to see? Why is that such a problem with people? I don't understand.
And that's what I'm saying. All these companies are doing, how the fuck are you going to get mad at a company for trying to maximize its profit?
Why would you think
the $1 trillion in the black economy ain't some shit that's been being raped by American culture forever? We don't even rotate our own money in the hood. Don't get me started on Nipsey Hussle dying and trying to get the gentrification situation squared away in his own neighborhood, and us dealing with that within our own culture and problems as far as trying to build and get a little pocket on our own. That extra systematic shit is already on autopilot. So the last thing we need is for that type of conversation. Like, you don't want to make things talk about, okay, it's political or whatever, but, you know, not to keep it out of video games. Let's just at least have enough respect for people to understand that, you know, maybe you're not as smart as you think you are.
Yeah.
Like, you're not as slick as you think you are.
Yeah.
And just call a spade so we can keep it pushing. Period. You know what I'm saying? Like, that second video that I saw, it was fear, because it's you always chase anger back to fear, and what you're afraid of, you're afraid of losing money because you built a platform off some, you know.
Off of hate. I mean, just flat out, that's what it is. He's built a platform off of hate.
You know, but he won because we gave him time with this one.
We did.
And it kind of, you know what I'm saying? But I'm glad we don't need to, you know.
Well, we're not going to say the name of the YouTuber. We're not going to talk about the channel just because I don't want to get him any more views or whatever, but... You know, the fact of the reality is that when you build a platform off of hate and you've made your money off of this, you're engaging in a behavior that's very dangerous to the things that I love and you love and, you know, the communities around us and the world going forward, because you're creating a false sense of rage that doesn't need to exist. Because the truth in the matter is that as people, as human beings, as we live together and work together and move forward in this world and play video games together, we should really be engaging in a culture that enjoys each other in a way that says, you know, hey, look, I've learned a lot from this person from the other side of the world. I've learned more about their reality and who they are. Because, you know, and it's not going to teach you everything. Watching movies and playing video games is not going to teach you everything about the world. But it's going to give you at least some curiosity. And I think that's important for children going forward. Not to say, don't let your kids play Mortal Kombat 11.
But you know, Mortal Kombat 11 is great, but you hit a great point. It's not going to teach you everything, but it will influence a hell of a lot.
Yes.
It will have you thinking that Africa is full of just big stomach fly booty scratching motherfuckers, where it's not beautiful areas and that's not impoverishing, and I have you thinking that America has no third world country areas, and I come from one, so I already can speak from that.
Oh, they definitely,
you know what I'm
do. Yeah.
But that message, when it comes out, the sad thing, the real thing is, even with that said, I'd love to, that type of personality type, as long as we got respect for one another, let's get on MK11, get on a headset and work it out. You feel me?
Exactly.
Like, that's the whole point of the games, man. You know, and then, like, what I'm thankful for is I had a moment with the whole thing, and I drew back into my Buddhism principles, because I felt Buddhist sorrow, and I thought to myself, I had to think, what would one of the grand Buddhist prophets, Hugh Hefner, the Stan Lee of porn, think? And it gave me calmness. It made
yes,
me still.
Yes.
And it made me thankful. But yeah, man, MK11 is craziness.
It's
dope.
Amazing,
it.
Dude. It's an amazing.
Hey, man,
game.
You are my motherfucking brother. You are an ally, bro.
Man,
you
of course.
Like,
man, you're my brother, man. And just like, I look at this world, and like I've said this before to you, and I don't know if I've said it over the air. I always consider myself a gamer before I even consider myself an American. Like, that is the number one thing to me but it is important. And if people think that pop culture does not influence change, it does. I mean, it 100% does. I mean, you want to take it all the way back. We can go all the way back to when, you know, I mean, even when you take a look at one of the most crucial, important films of all time, In the Heat of the Night, was right on the burgeoning civil rights movement. And there was a reason they did that movie at that time. There's a reason that movie came out when it did, and there's a reason the story was the way it was. That is now looked at as a great movie and an Academy Award winner for a good reason. However, there's also specific ties to pop culture and the way it influences change within the culture itself. And today's reality includes movies and video games in a big way. Video games especially. So if companies will include diverse characters, diverse motivations, you know what I'm saying, though.
I mean, my thing is, look, I get on here, we're ignorant as fuck, and we joke around. Like, I'm not sitting here judging somebody like that. Fuck it. It was something to talk about when we put ourselves out there. And I'm the last motherfucker that's going to want to minimize digital titties. But seriously, did you think about that when you were actually playing the fucking game?
No, not at all.
Me neither, bro.
I didn't care.
That's the.
And if you want that, Dead or Alive still coming out. They got Dead or Alive 6 out. Go buy that.
Right.
It's
go
still
get you a VR that straps onto your shit. We've done anyway.
Yeah,
weirdo. And that's coming from weirdo. We're the weirdest.
Thank you. We're always gonna joke about things. There's a difference between joking about it and it being like a reality that's being affected and scaring my reality away. Like, there's a huge difference.
Jesse Smollett told me he knows a couple of guys that might be able to help that other guy out.
You know that guy secretly on the back? He'd be like, all right, you know what? Maybe. Just, how much money did I make this month?
And yeah, anything else you wanted to get on about it? Well, to MK11, this one might even come up again at some point later on in the year. I don't know. I think I'm going to be for a while.
It's
man.
A great game, dude. I can't wait to get back on it. I'm going to get back on it today and restart my playthrough in the story mode. And man, those fatalities. I'm just sorry. When Johnny Cage ripped the half of a body off and used it as a puppet, it was one of the funniest things I've ever seen. And it's so disgusting and hilarious at the same time.
Yeah, it's Yeah, like once I think both of us will run through the towers and beat it a little bit, I think it's going to come up in what we've been playing, I think. And I think it might be in a rotation for
it.
Can I give a quick little shout out before I forget?
Yeah.
Shout out to Shanice for the Twitter thing. And yes, we are definitely working on getting you a shirt that says "My religion is Buddhism."
Yeah,
that shit made a motherfucking day. Appreciate you.
Yes, thank you so much, Shanice. That was awesome. But that's been this week's edition of Skip the Tutorial. If you agree or disagree with our opinions, let us know. You can email us at skipthetutorialpodcast@gmail.com. Hit us up on Twitter at @stt_pod. Get to our Facebook at facebook.com/skipthetutorialpodcast. We have that Facebook tribe. Which is connected to the group, the Skip the Tutorial Tribe. Instagram.com/skipthetutorialpod. And of course, as we always do before we sign off, stay humble.
Stay humble. Stay hungry.
Stay humble. Stay hungry. I'm hungry right now. I'm so hungry. I need some Taco Bell. Yeah. Taco Bell today.
Woo!
Woo!
I don't know why that was an unnecessarily woo. I mean,
it was still a good woo. Ric Flair. Woo!
You already know.
Woo! All right, man. We love you guys. Stay on.